You're listening to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community. To the Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community. We are your hosts of the show. I'm Brian, and this is Ed.
Hello again.
And today, we wanted to switch things up a little bit. You know, we've been playing a lot of traditional stuff, exploring new sound chips. Our last episode was the NES sound hardware. And we thought, you know, let's try a new theme, something that we haven't really explored a lot yet. And we decided to go with a rock based theme. And this genre is actually a little bit hard to define because, you know, you got your soft rock, you got your, you know, hard rock, your metal, all that stuff. So we're kind of looking at it from very wide and open perspective. And I think a lot of the stuff we have today is a good example of that.
Yeah, it's kind of a broad scope. I mean, I guess guitar rock would be the best way to kind of describe it. It's like the widest umbrella you can get. But, you know, you're going to hear a lot of live instrument samples, a lot of guitar samples, drum kit samples. Not a heck of a lot of hand-drawn waveforms are going to be, you know, featured right. in today's show. So I think it's going to be really different. There's going to be a lot of different kinds of music techniques that we're going to be talking about. We've got mostly looks like mods and XMs today. Maybe I've got my, you know, traditional token SID file that we're going to play later on in the show. But, you know, I think the track that brought us in was a really good example of the kind of music we're going to be hearing from. That was maybe more on the lighter rock scope of things. I think we've got some more heavier stuff coming up and some more dynamic stuff. But Brian, what was that track and why did you pick it?
So that track was called Harley D. Warrior, and it was composed by Ivanhoe. It's a 14-channel XM file at 279 kilobytes. This was released April 2nd of 1999. I picked this because, well, first of all, there's kind of an argument that it might be a little bit drawn out towards the end there. You and I were talking kind of as we were listening, and it does kind of repeat over and over a lot. But when I first heard this track, and the reason why it kind of spoke to me was because I was really sleep deprived. I've kind of had some family changes and stuff going on lately, and it was raining like a ton here the last few weeks, and we were in drought, and then, you know, now like the drought is over because we've had so much rain. And so I was just staring out the back window and listening to mods, and it was just pouring rain. I was alone, I was tired, just kind of laying on the carpet. And I listened to this track, and it was like the best thing.
It's like face down on your kitchen floor. That's what I'm picturing.
It was like the best way to capture my mood. This track totally did it. And so I was like, oh, this is a really good one for the show. It's kind of got like you said, a softer rock kind of feel to it. We were also kind of chatting back and forth. It reminds me of like if you go to like one of those, you know, 70s or 80s rock concerts where everything's really, really hard, and then you know, all the lights dim low, you get a blue spotlight on, you know, Axl Rose, and he's, you know, or whatever, and there's just this this really nice, pretty guitar solo, everybody's holding up the lighters, people are just going ape shit, and really liking it. And I think that the samples were really clean, everything sounds really awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, like the track is like 4.5 minutes long, but that's kind of expected from tracks like this. Like those rock ballads are really drawn out, and usually they're accompanied by, you know, some really heartfelt vocals, which aren't featured in this track for obvious reasons. But I think in terms of that, if you look at the track in that kind of context as an allegory for a real rock ballad song, then you kind of understand why it might sound a little repetitive. But I can't really hold that against the song itself, because that's kind of how they're built.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, a little background on myself, I listened to a lot of like reggae and rock when I was a kid. That's what my dad listened to, and that's what we had playing all the time. So I grew up with like, you know, Metallica, Scorpion, all the bands, you know, that really had those strong, you know, guitar harmonies and like guitar rock. So for me, this was a little bit different, because on the electronic side, like the demo scene tracking side of stuff, I really listened to more of the traditional, you know, DOSC poppy kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so this is kind of melting those two worlds of what I listened to kind of together. And so it was interesting, and kind of looking at and trying to discover different tracks for this episode was kind of eye-opening, because it's not something I typically listen to a lot, you know. And Moby, you know, Elmo, we've had his stuff on the show before, and he has a lot of really good rock anthem kind of songs. But didn't go with any Moby today, because there's a lot of other good artists that I think deserve some spotlight.
Yeah, for sure. He's got a ton of good stuff that we're going to be, you know, sharing in the future. So I wanted to kind of myself too give some of these other artists who kind of work more or less in the genre of rock their spotlight. As far as rock music goes, I kind of had my like 15 minutes of enjoying rock like in my life, because I've always been an electronic kid. Like, I grew up on video game music. I went right into, you know, like techno and stuff after that. I had this little period in high school where I was just totally into grunge. So there was, you know, Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam. Yeah. All that stuff, and I was really, really into like guitar-oriented rock music at that point, or alternative, whatever you would call it. But then I discovered like industrial and goth, and so I kind of, you know, went in that direction, and then just went back into video game music and techno. So my experience with rock is kind of like
little nugget of time,
that little flannel-clad bubble right there. Yeah,
right.
My brother is a huge metalhead though, and you know, we grew up in the same house for, you know, 20 something years. So I did kind of absorb a lot of the stuff that he listened to like throughout the years. So, you know, big Metallica right. fan, but then he also liked all the crazy stuff like Arch Enemy and everything from Sweden and Norway. Oh, yeah. And you know, that kind of stuff. So. A lot of that maybe kind of shows through a little bit. I think we've got some kind of Scandinavian artists floating around in my picks. So
there's one more thing I want to mention about Ivanhoe before we move on.
Sure.
So he's an Estonian tracker, and I don't think we've had any Estonian artists
not that I
on
can
the
remember.
Show yet. No. Yeah, well, I don't have a whole lot of information on him. I found this mod archive profile that he had where he says his favorite style is rock, and that's about it. He had a website up for a while. I found that on Internet Archive, but it was like there was nothing of use there. And so that's all I know about the guy. He clearly has some skills, and so I don't know whatever happened to him. I guess it's a mystery.
Very interesting. Good track, though. Can't blame him. Got good stuff going on.
So I think it is time to move on. So what do you got for us?
All right. This one is called Proba Microfono. And it is from Scorpic of the groups Pico and Surprise Productions. We're back. That was Proba Microfonu from Scorpic from Pico and Surprise Productions. That was a 4-channel XM file, 288 kilobytes, a fun little rock track with like a surprise polka section in the middle for no particular reason.
That was so awesome. I was cracking up. I saw you. We're on Skype, you know, like as we're listening to this track, and I just saw you kind of burst into laughter right at the same time I was, too. That's pretty fun. This is cool. How'd you find this?
Actually, through the artist. So Scorpic's real name is Adam Skorupa, and he's actually done quite a lot of video game music.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that you mentioned Moby at the beginning of the show, because there's a game out there called Skyforce 2014. It's this vertical shooter that is on Steam, and I'm friends with Moby on Facebook, and he posted about this game and how much he loved it, and I had been playing it on iPad for years. So I messaged him, and I'm like, dude, I didn't know this was on Steam. Like, let's hook up and compare scores and stuff. So this game that Adam Skorupa composed for, I actually have played with Moby in the past. So it's kind of like a full circle deal.
That's awesome.
But in any case, yeah, Adam Skorupa has been around since 1995. He started working on game audio for some independent Polish game developers and started moving up to more well-known games like Painkiller, Call of Juarez. He did the Witcher series, the Shadow Warriors series, and Dead Island. So a lot of these big AAA titles that he's been doing music for. And so that Skyforce game was just kind of a little offshoot that actually did use tracker-style music, and it was really good stuff. So I kind of, you know, found out what his handle was and started looking at more of his tunes, and this one came up, and I thought it would be, you know, perfect for this show. I love that kind of, like, the harmonica. There's that one, right. Like, guitar solo that's in the middle that I think it's really well done. Like, the guitar solo sounds awesome, but the sample he used could have been a little bit better. It gets a little grating on kind of those note bends.
So to kind of go with that, actually, I think the star is not the lead here. I think that rhythm is just where it's at.
Yeah.
I think he nailed the rhythm, and it almost didn't matter what he put on top of it, because it's such a catchy, nice flowing kind of upbeat rhythm section that, you know, the solo and all that stuff, I kept just listening to the background noise, and I was just so into it, and, you know, kind of dancing around here in my, you know, in front of the computer. And for me, that was the true star of this track.
Kind of reminds me of like a background music they'd play in like a commercial for clean energy or something, you know, sun shining in the background and windmills going everywhere. And
right.
So yeah, that's kind of funny.
You know, I was almost positive we played a track from Skorpik on the show. I was like 1,000% sure, and I just looked and we haven't.
No.
So I just thought we did.
Yeah, I've played a track from him on my video game show, Pixel Tunes Radio. So maybe you heard the show, because I did a track from Skyforce at one point back in the day. So
or maybe somebody posted it on Facebook. There's all sorts of possibilities.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I mean, Skorpik's otherwise been known as Spin Doctors, or Skorpik with a C instead of a K, and he's been in like every single group known to man. Are you ready for the list of groups?
Oh, it depends how long it is.
it's pretty long, man. He's been in Absolute, Alchemy, Anadune, Oral Planet, Deform, Grace, Investation, Longsoft, Not Color, Noiseless, Oddbyte Design, Oddbyte Productions, Old Bulls, Peak St. Lou, Pico, Power of Nothing, Pulse, Sunflower, Surprise Productions, Union, and Zack Team. He's done work for all of those groups.
So just like one or two then?
Just a couple here and there.
Just a couple.
Yeah, and speaking of Oral Planet, he actually was in a band called Oral Planet, and it's one of the best known electronic music projects in Poland. They did six albums that had worldwide releases, so he's kind of a celebrity in his own right, too, as far as music goes.
I haven't heard of him, but, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, it's not popular. I don't know, you know, just I'm very selective with what I listen to, not by choice, just by... That's just how it happens, I guess.
Yeah. They're kind of experimental electronic stuff, so I think you might actually appreciate them. So they've got some stuff on YouTube you can check out.
I probably dig it. Well, I am ready to move on to the next track. Why don't we keep it Polish?
Sure.
Keep it Polish.
Keep it Polish? This, keep it polka?
Yeah. Well, this is very unpolka, but it's still a Polish composer. This track is called High Blood Pressure, and it's composed by Meenal. All right, that was High Blood Pressure by Mean All from the group Digital Doom. This is an 8-channel XM file at 293 kilobytes. And I picked this because this just screams rock. I mean, it's,
hell yeah.
There's no other way to define it. It's a really cool track, short, to the point. And we were kind of chatting about it as we were listening. We listened to it at least twice, you know, through. And the loop is so clean that you don't realize that it has already, you know, started over. And that is a very clever and genius way to compose.
And you don't even care that it's looped because it's so much fun to listen to. So that's also the mark of a good track.
Right. Now, this would make an excellent track for like Doom or like Duke Nukem, you know, like Wolfenstein.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
I could just really see this, you know, it's very fast moving, very grungy. I almost want to say it reminds me of Bark at the Moon, you know, like some kind of like early like 80s, just kind of, or late 80s grunge.
Yeah, like Motorhead, that kind of like halfway between punk and metal kind of sound.
Right. I thought it was a cool track. I hadn't heard from this composer yet, and so I thought it was an excellent way to introduce somebody new on the show. So Mean All, his real name is Patrick Gust, and he is a Polish Amiga and PC scener that was active from 1995 to 1999. And all of the tracks that he wrote, and he's written hundreds of mods, were using ProTracker and FastTracker, and you know, both the Amiga and PC when he moved over to the PC side. But that is pretty much it. After 1999, I couldn't find anything else that he did. This specific track was released April 22nd of 1997. So just a few years into his composing career. And then, you know, a few years later, he was a ghost. So I don't know. I thought it was a fun track. A lot of energy, screams rock and roll, maybe more so than the other ones I picked today.
Yeah, for sure. I think the his group name Digital Doom kind of sums it all up very, very well. You know, it kind of fits that song. This is probably my favorite so far of the show, man. This was a good pick. It's got that kind of like digital, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but I felt like, you know, you were talking about video games before, Neo Contra, like with that techno metal sound to it. I think it fits very well with that kind of music.
Right. And you know, he's not really doing anything like insane. Like he doesn't have any crazy guitar solos or anything like that. It's just a solid rhythm with a lot of focus and energy on those guitar strums and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, I really like that. I thought I could really appreciate that part of it.
Just some good riffs, man. That's all you need for a good rock song.
Good riffs. All he needed to add was a little polka in there somewhere.
Yeah, dude, I was thinking about that, you know? Just 3/4 of the way through, just bust out into some accordion solo.
Yeah.
He would have been winning Grammys left and right. Worked for Weird Al.
Anyways, maybe, you know, in the future we'll find some more stuff from him. I'm kind of curious. I hadn't really gone through the rest of his stuff. I listened to a few tracks. Like I said, there's hundreds of stuff on Mod Archive that needs to be explored, needs to be listened to. So eventually I'm sure we'll hear more from Mean All.
Absolutely.
Anyways, let's move on to your next track. What do you got for us?
Sure. Coming up is a SID file. This one is called Lick My Guitar from Hind Design of Vision. Thank you. All right, that was Lick My Guitar from Hind Design of the group Vision. That was a 6 kilobyte SID file using the 6581 chip in PAL timing. Very, very unique track. Like, so minimalistic, but it's just got this really jazzy kind of groove to it that instantly hooked me.
Big time. I absolutely love that solo. I thought that...
Oh, towards the end? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like a kind of like a jazz guitar. Just, you can really hear the, like, dynamics of the, like, the volume change. Just everything in that solo. And I thought that was just perfectly executed. And, you know, this track might come off to some as a, kind of a stretch for rock and roll, but you can totally hear it.
Yeah, man, totally. No, I was gonna say that too. I mean, it kind of plays between like jazz and rock, but I felt like, you know, as far as SID tracks go, finding a good rock SID track was a lot more difficult than I originally thought it would.
No joke.
So I just kind of ended up searching the whole High Voltage SID collection for tracks that contain the word guitar. Kind of like, you know, getting a little bit desperate. And so this one was probably like, you know, 3 or 4 tracks down the list. And I was like, wow, this one's really cool. Even if it's not completely in the rock genre, I feel like it definitely needs to be heard. And
I still think it fits. I think, you know, it might be a little bit outside of your traditional rock sound, but for the SID, this is SID rock and roll, so that works.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely has kind of a 60s, 70s kind of vibe to it. So it was written by Hind Design. His real name is Hein Holt, and he's from the Netherlands. This track came out around 2004. Hein Holt is probably more well-known as a graphics artist than he is for his music, even though he's got a lot of music under his belt. But he's done stuff for Onslaught and Focus. He founded Die Art.
Oh, wow.
So
that's cool.
he kind of built his name on art and coding images for the C64, but his music, I think, is equally as good, even though he's kind of not as well known for that as well. So are you familiar with the art that he's done at all, Brian?
No, but I've seen that name pop up several times. And, you know, just the name Hein Design, I mean, he's got design in his handle, so you can tell that where his focus is. But that's pretty awesome that, you know, multi-talented guy, you know, putting out just incredible tracks, and then, you know, but really saying, oh, you know, but I'm actually a graphic artist, I'm a designer, and then you know,
yeah, exactly,
this kind of stuff out of left field is just, that's way cool. That's really awesome.
I just kind of do this stuff on the side, you know.
But I mean, he's got hundreds and hundreds of releases to his name. You know, it's only the beginning of March as of this recording, and he's already got 4 releases in 2017, Cracks, Intros, and Tools. So he's just one of those guys, I think, that just can't stop working on scene stuff and just puts stuff out all the time. And all of it's really good stuff. You know, I in searching for information on him, I came across just tons of forums, you know, not even just like, you know, pages about him, but just people talking about his stuff on forums. And oh my god, I found this cool track of his, or you know, people always talk about his art, but take a listen to his music, you know. So people talk about him, and I think he's one of those kind of individuals that is not talked about as much as he should be. I think he should be one of those big names up there, but he doesn't really get that sort of respect, whether it's just because he's not very vocal about his own stuff or just, I don't know, but he's definitely one of the big names in my book.
Right. Well, you know, I've heard of all of the groups he's been except Blackmail. I mean, those are all big groups. And so he's clearly got some respect from me just at that, you know, just looking at those names. But then after hearing this, definitely goes up a few extra notches in the book. I thought this was an excellent track, very unique. Again, that solo was just so well executed for the track. I think everything worked out really, you know, really well. 2004, man.
Yeah, to me, it feels like he's probably a real guitarist. You know, I think he's got that technique down, and he can translate that into electronic stuff. And you know, we've been putting cover art on our shows lately, usually, you know, showcasing some art from sceners. So maybe we'll find something from good old Hein Design and maybe show some of his art off along with this show release.
That would be an excellent idea. And now I have to start looking through all of his art.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Get other people interested in it too. So, all right, well, that's all I got. So what's up for your next track?
So this would be my last track, and it's a really good one, actually. It's from an artist named Quasian, and the track is called Damask Rose, and this is a 39-channel IT file at
39? Yes, that's not a typo. It's 39.
39 channels.
Yes. All right.
I was like, did you not hear me? Because it's 39 channel IT file, 5.24 megabytes. And again, the track is called Damask Rose.
All right.
Thank you. All right, that was Damask Rose, composed by Kwasian. It's a 39-channel IT file at 5.24 megabytes. And I heard the song and I was like, how can we not put this in?
You know what? Just before we start it, I have to say I'm very disappointed, Brian, because only 38 channels were used.
Oh.
Very disappointed.
All right. I retract everything I just said.
The song is not impressive anymore. It's only 38 channels.
Yeah, why don't we just start over and, you know, leave this out of the show?
Yeah, you know, no, let's not leave this. This is freaking amazing, dude. Where the hell did you find this?
I found it on Mod Archive. I swear to God, I just totally randomly clicked on this and listened. I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. This is exactly what I was looking for. Yeah, just extremely complex, very clean. All the samples are just very rounded. When we're listening to it, you're like, man, are you sure this is actually a tracked song? This isn't live recording?
Seriously.
Yeah, it's just a masterful execution. And there's not enough good things I could say about it. I just thought it was incredible.
It's almost like, you know, and I was listening to some of those guitar solos and like, I'm like, why did he choose the tracker format for this kind of song? Like, I don't know. It just feels like a live band would have been a little more easy to put together. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's I'm not poo-pooing the fact that he did it, because it's a feat in and of itself just to watch,
right,
you know, the tracker roll go by and see all the work he put into this. But it's like, man, you could probably get a real record label deal if you actually just put the song out, you know, with real people playing it. It just blows my mind.
You know, when I heard it too, the first thing that popped in my mind, there's this progressive rock band called Dream Theater. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, of course. Big time progressive rockers.
Yeah, so when I heard this track, I was thinking, oh my God, Dream Theater. And then I looked on Mod Archive and like five other people said, oh my God, this is Dream Theater. This is like, and I was like, okay, well, at least I was in the same boat as everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, just amazing execution of the track. And I think that, I think a lot of people can learn a lot from this. It's just very well put together. Anyways, sure. So Kwasian, whose real name is Pasi Kanemi, and this was released, it came out on Mod Archive in 2007. I have no idea when the track was actually introduced to the world. There's not a lot of info. Surprising, for as good as this track is, you think there would be a little bit more stuff to kind of find out about it, but
yeah,
that is untrue. Kwasian himself actually doesn't have a whole lot of info either. He's a Finnish artist and ex-member of the Rebels. The thing about him, though, that was quite interesting is he's one of the founding members of a metal band called Crimson Lotus.
Hmm.
And I had never heard of them, but you can go to their YouTube and listen to a few of their tracks. It's very, very different from this track, but at the same time, you know, you can hear that he, you know, he's a musician at heart, and this track and the fact that he's in, you know, in a band, all that kind of comes together to prove the fact that he's just, music is his life.
Right, yeah. Definitely seems like he's the kind of guy that lives and dies for music, for sure.
Yeah, excellent track, and I think we are on to your last one, right?
Oh, man, how am I going to follow that up? All right, well, this one's actually really good anyway.
You need a 40-channel IT file.
Yeah, man, I should have looked harder then. This one's only 4-channel.
Don't you find that funny? Don't you find that funny? Is a lot of the time when we, you know, our episodes, I tend to go with the lower channel files, and you tend to do like the more, you know, insane 30-channel files, and this time it's flipped.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But you know, to my credit, though, even that that Scorpic track that we played at the beginning of the show, I mean, that was only 4 channels, but it sounded like it had way more channels than that.
Yeah, it was a very big sound.
Kind of the same thing holds true for this one. This one is called Guitar Demo, and this is from Hi-Fi, from the group Effect. Let's take a listen. We'll be right back. Welcome back. That was a guitar demo from Hi-Fi of the group Effect, and that was a four-channel mod at 312 kilobytes. Kind of, he's going for kind of like a live sound there with that crowd effect.
You know, I was listening, it wasn't so obvious in the beginning because you kind of hear it fade in and then kind of fade out. And I was like, is that like a crowd cheering? It's so strange, but it kind of works.
Yeah, I like the way that he added like reverb on the percussion too to kind of like make it feel like it was, you know, being performed on a stage. Right. It, you know, the end part where the music drops out, the crowd comes back up, and then the drums kick back in, like that part really, really grabbed me. It got a little bit like repetitive towards the middle of it, where those kind of solos, those finger picking solos, kind of went on maybe a little bit too long, but. You know, I think that end totally makes up for any of that kind of, you know, especially after listening to your last track. Like, it almost sounds a little anemic with those four channels going on. But I think the end of it, really, that emotion came out.
Yeah, you know, I have to kind of agree with you on that. It, not that it sounds anemic. I think this is a great track. It does kind of sound a little bit odd, you know, back to back with the last one. Because, you know, it's just a totally different ballpark when you have, you know, 39 channels to work with and then go down to four. But at the same time, it had a lot to offer. And I think that that ending part for me was the absolute star of the track. I was just like, oh, I was feeling it. It was so good. And kind of agreeing with what you said again, the hammer-on solo that the guitar is doing, it was a little bit drawn out. And I was thinking to myself, oh my God, if this was a real guitarist, his fingers would be about breaking off now.
Just like little stubs.
Just little nubs, yeah. And so... It was a really excellent track. I think that the crowd cheering thing was a little bit odd, but it worked in a very weird way.
Yeah.
A very, very awesome composition with that unique ending just made the track super enjoyable to listen to. It's always interesting to me to see artists using like a wah-wah pedal for guitar in track music because you really have to be clever with how you... create those samples, I think, and I was looking, and he reuses a lot of the same samples, but he changes it up enough. It doesn't just feel like just one sample over and over. So I think that adds a little bit extra flair to the guitar in there.
Yeah, especially, you know, in the rock genre, for solos, you've got to really almost modify every single note, because as soon as you hit kind of a flat tone, like guitars don't really produce that, you know, with the vibrations, there's always kind of a more heavy attack and a decay there. But then there's also so much human element to how the note is formed that you really need to almost kind of pour over every single inch of your solos to make sure that they sound authentic. And I think he pulled that off pretty well here.
Exactly. I think it was an excellent track. So tell me a little bit about Hi-Fi.
Sure. Hi-Fi is otherwise known as Stefan Van Maris. Earlier, he went by the moniker Hi-Fi with a hyphen between the high and the fi. Now he's just known as Hi-Fi, one word. This track came out likely between 1995 and 1997 because those were the only years that he was active. This was originally a private release for quote-unquote insiders, as it says on the track notes. I don't know what insiders means necessarily, but...
Just Impulse Project listeners.
Exactly. It's an exclusive. No, just kidding. But, you know, you can find it on the web everywhere now, so I felt kind of comfortable sharing it. You know, it's on DemoZoo and Mod Archive, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Stefan is from the Netherlands. He was a music artist. He worked on text fonts, a systems operator, all of this at the group Effect from 1995 to 1997. Also in 95 and until 1996, he was a member of Stower and Nautilus, and then also joined Saints in 1996. And then he wasn't necessarily a member of, but he had releases with Devious Designs, EPH, Oops, Rats and Dogs, and Royal. He had about 20 different releases during his 2 years as an active scener.
Holy
so I don't
moly.
Know, maybe he just burned out.
Yeah,
like,
I can
you know,
see
it was
that.
One of those bright flames that just kind of like the candle went dead.
Yeah.
Or he changed his moniker and didn't have any sort of, you know,
affiliation with it before. Yeah.
Affiliation.
Or
exactly.
Or he got a, like some paying job where they were like, we don't want you to do any outside stuff. I know how that works. And so, you know,
yeah,
it's one of those things. Anyways, it'll be a mystery until maybe one of our listeners can be like, hey, I know this guy. He's like one of my best friends that lives down the street. give us more info on him. Anyways, excellent track though.
Thank you. In the sample notes, he says he was trying something that was a totally different style from what he normally does. And he was just wondering if he could do some rock style instead of those boring techno and jazz stuff. So, maybe he was just checking something out. He called it a private concert for his insiders. So I guess maybe that's where the crowd sound effect came from. So it was kind of cool that, you know, he was giving a message to the people that enjoyed his music inside the music itself. And I guess that kind of, you know, brings a little bit more light to why he was choosing those particular sounds. So that's all I got for that. I think that wraps up our show, huh?
Yeah, very cool. We had a lot of really good tracks. This was a very exploratory episode for us, I think. We listened to, I could come up with tracks to play for days, but when we're thinking rock and roll, really made me scratch my head, you know, and really have to what's out there? Because, and that's what's fun about doing the show, is really kind of exploring and learning about different artists. And like, you know, some artists, like, they have one track that's rock and roll and they're like, oh, I was just trying something out, you know. And it's those kind of tracks that are really interesting to find, because you may, you know, may skip over them. And so I think we had a lot of really cool stuff, a lot of really new artists on the show that we haven't heard from yet. So that's always a lot of fun. I had a ton of fun today.
Yeah, me too. And I'm looking forward to maybe getting some other tracks from these artists that we've shared that maybe aren't in the rock genre, to see what they can do in more of a traditional demo scene style, you know, track, and see where those similarities are. So, and like I said, you know, not being a huge fan of the rock genre myself, I did kind of learn a lot about how that genre was presented in the scene itself. So, I mean, we heard from, you know, like really minimalistic kind of stuff from Lick My Guitar, and then, you know, that track that you picked, Damask Rose, like
right.
Very, very opposite ends of the spectrum, but both really good at the same time. So it was really cool how you know, one genre can be presented in so many different ways.
Yeah, and I think we could revisit this episode in the future, do another rock genre, look more at some of the Mega Drive, Genesis stuff, maybe some NSF, Game
sure.
Boy and stuff, you know,
some Game Boy stuff.
Yeah, it's, you know, I did look in the Spectrum and, you know, the AY format, and didn't find a whole lot. And I was actually really surprised that there was anything in SID, because it's hard to make rock with square waves, and so you have to be really, really creative. And so I'm glad that we got some on the show, because I think having that spectrum is a great way to listen to more formats.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? There is a lot of great rock on the SID. I mean, you look at like early Tim Fallon stuff, Alistair Brimble, you know, all those guys, but it's mostly gay music, and it's stuff that we're going to be sharing on our other shows and not here.
Exactly. So, you know, within our, demo scene, tracking community sphere, it's a little more on the limited side, but that doesn't mean there isn't a lot of excellent stuff out there. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to find us online, you can find us at impulseproject.info, and we're also on Twitter at impulsecast.
Yes, and you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/impulseproject. Find the post where we post this show, and, you know, share some of your favorite rock demo scene tracks. If you've composed something in the rock genre, you want to share it, or if you just know of something that's really cool in any sort of tracker or demo scene format, we'd love to hear it, because we want to hear a lot of these cool rock tracks that maybe we're not familiar with yet.
Exactly. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you in a few weeks for the next episode.
See you next time, guys.